Yeah, Friday. What's up? Welcome in. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are taking you all the way up to 6:15 tonight ahead of Nationals baseball pregame. Nats, Reds, Charlie, and Dave in the 6 o'clock hour. Danny, happy Friday.
What's up, buddy? We got a lot of good sport to talk about today. Just a quick side, you heard the update from our guy Tobias Funke. Tiger Woods is like 16 over.
14 over.
14, yeah, whatever it is. This is one of the reasons I'm just not a professional golf fan. I just kind of can't do it for a trillion and one reasons. But whatever this is, like, can you imagine if a major league pitcher, the equivalent is like a guy that can't throw hard anymore, can't throw, and is still sort of trotted out there ceremoniously to pitch every fifth day? Like, he's not good anymore. He's the greatest golfer ever, but this is sort of what we do. When he finishes a tournament, he's missing cuts and he's not close. And when he doesn't fish a tournament, it's like, yeah, my back, my neck and my back. And then sort of comes back and does it again. They do this thing in golf where it's like, you just get to hang on forever and ever and ever. And it's sort of like awkwardly, okay, they're playing you off as you're giving the acceptance speech and you're still standing up there while the music's going.
I think normally guys in his position, though, do it in a way where there's not a lot of attention paid and you've kind of earned the right to be out there. And so occasionally you hit a nice shot and we'll see you on television when you birdie the hole. But you miss some cuts, you shoot some really high scores, no harm, no foul. The difference is because he's Tiger, and he's the greatest of all time, arguably, everything he does is loud. There's just so much attention to it. You know what this kind of reminds me of is the Bronny discussion we were talking about at the end of the show yesterday, where my point is I think he's getting way too much heat and way too much flack as the 55th or whatever he was pick in the draft. There should be no expectation for him to play well in the summer league. Nobody should be caring that he's not playing well. That's what happens when you're barely drafted. But because it's him, because he's famous for being famous, essentially, like, there's so much more attention on him. So I think in Tiger's case, like, if he was allowed to just kind of drift through with little attention, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But you've got everyone and their brother telling you maybe this is the tournament where he gets right. You still have obsessed Tiger people who are telling you he might make the cut or he might win or he might do this. So you should be annoyed by them more than you are Tiger, who's just going out, playing golf, trying to keep the career.
Yeah, less annoyed at Tiger. And this is sort of, again, that I echo a lot of what you said about Bronny James as well. You know, he's playing, probably earning a lot of money just to show up or at some of these places, you know. But to me, it's this, whatever this phenomena is, I just can't get on board with. Like, in team sports, when you can't do it anymore, it's obvious. Nobody signs you as a free agent, and, you know, you hold your tearful retirement ceremony or whatever. Maybe there's a year or two past your prime and the downhill of your career. Like, the example we always use is, now, you know, rest in peace, but Willie Mays is a Met, right? Like, not the same guy he was before. Understand that. But we just get to do his year with Drew, plus 16 over. Missed the cut, and now he's 14 over through a round.
Yeah, enough.
Like, he can't do it anymore, and that's happened. Father Time is undefeated. He is a trillion and oh, and he'll go the next trillion and oh.
And it's not just Father Time. It's injuries, it's crashes,
all of it. Sure.
It's
yeah.
leg breaks, it's all kinds of
Everything.
Different things that he's had to overcome. But, again, I don't think if you interview or have Tiger Woods sit down, I have no idea. Someone could correct me if I'm wrong. But I don't get the sense he's out there saying, I'm going to win this thing. Like, I don't think he shows up at the golf course with a legitimate expectation to be in the hunt on Sunday.
Right.
I think he's going, I'm still able-bodied enough to go out there and swing the clubs. And if I have a really good round, I can make the cut. And I want to compete. Again, the people that are annoying in this process are the people that are pretending like he's not done.
There it is.
And everyone should just acknowledge, this is over, Johnny.
Yeah, it's ceremonial, has been for a time, and I just kind of can't get on board with that. You know, like, again, the Olympics are coming up, a 100-meter sprint. Carl Lewis isn't running in that 100-meter, like some sort of ceremony thing where he's going to lose by a second and a half to the world's best at this point. He was great. He was awesome. He can't do it anymore. We have a system for that, but golf doesn't apply to them.
You want a little sign of the times in 2024?
I'd like it.
So you will not have this happen in your life. You have two boys.
Okay.
But as the father of a couple of girls and a boy, my daughter had a recital this afternoon that I missed, which I feel bad and bummed about, within the last hour here as I was at work. Taylor Swift dance camp.
Okay.
She went all week long. to a little camp where they learned different Taylor Swift songs. She goes around our house already singing as Taylor Swift into a little microphone we got her. So this was like perfect for her. But they did crafts. You know, it was like several hours each day camp. But it was a Taylor Swift themed camp. Think about that. Just the influence in society.
I was going to say, can you imagine the
that this person has and how successful Taylor Swift is? And by all accounts, she seems like a good person and a good role model. But forget the money she made on her tour or the amount that people pay to go to different countries to see her. And you know, all of that stuff is not common, but for a superstar music act, I guess semi-understandable. But my daughter was at a camp all week where they did crafts and basically in the theme of Taylor Swift, just kind of existed in this camp and then today performed a bunch of her songs for parents at pickup.
First of all, that's cool. You get a little dabble in the performing arts kind of stuff in that space.
I'm awaiting the videos now to see how the performance went.
See, I mean, that's a neat thing for kids to step out of their comfort zone and be able to do that in a kind of a cool, nurturing environment. I'm all in. I know that's not the point of this, though. It's the Taylor Swift point. I can't imagine. Like, growing up, there was no Madonna camp, as far as I knew. You know what I mean? For, like, the local girls that were obsessed with
somebody. So that's actually an interesting point. You know? Has anybody... I would think the answer is yes. I'm going to get my guess out of the way. But has anybody ever been a bigger star? And what I mean by that is what you just said. Social media has not existed until recently. The internet and the ubiquitous nature of content now makes it possible for you to be a larger star than you once were. If you look at the money she's generating, her tour, just her involvement in anything, see the NFL season last year. Is it possible to say that she is the biggest star in entertainment in history? Or were there people along the way, like I would imagine the Beatles in the 60s?
Michael Jackson
at his peak of his powers. But like again, there wasn't internet, there wasn't social media. I think that might raise the bar of ceiling for her.
So this is a really complicated thing, like a, you know, I don't even know what fields you would need, but like the foremost expert in everything from sociology to anthropology to, you know, everything else under the sun. Now there's more
archaeology.
You might need an archaeologist in there. Maybe Indiana Jones is available. No one knows. But there's more available. There are more options available. So in other words, when Michael Jackson was the most popular person on the planet, I don't mean like liked. I mean like most widely recognized person on the earth. We had 4, 5, 7, and 9 for television. Occasionally 50 if the rabbit ears were working. Right? Like, there's no internet. There are no other options. So if they're going to show you something, it's going to be Michael Jackson on Ed Sullivan. Michael Jackson does this. Thriller. We got music videos. That's what you were watching.
That's a good counter-argument.
There's now more than ever. So her acclaim and her recognition is on par, I think, standing out in a way more crowded field. So again, so who wins that face-off? I have no idea.
Your point is the water was way smaller, and we're trying to figure out who the bigger fish was.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been, I think it's fair to say, it would have been way harder. I'm just going to take the Beatles in the 60s.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson and whatever that would have been, early
80s.
Mid-80s. It would have been way harder to not bump into them in content. Whether that's the magazine, actual printed magazine that comes to your house or whatever, or on television on the limited channels you were watching. Because to your point, it's just a bigger percentage of what's out there. Whereas now, there's so much out there, she's a very small percentage of what's available to you, but also you're bumping into her everywhere.
Yes, it's ubiquitous. So I don't know that anyone would get this treatment now. Again, the times are different, but bear with me. When Michael Jackson premiered a new music video, again, now this is not what people, I can't even picture any Taylor Swift videos. Like, I know Bad Blood, someone gets kicked out of a window, but like, I don't know what anyone's doing. Music videos are not the same as they were.
With all due respect, I think that says more about like your fandom of her. Because I'm pretty sure her fans know every second.
Well, I'm sure.
And 11 seconds, it means Jake Gyllenhaal, and this scarf means this guy. And
I believe it.
She's got huge videos, and they're very long, and they're like movies.
Right, but it's not the same as it was. And here's the point I'm trying to make. When Michael Jackson premiered a new music video, it was done on primetime television. In other words, like between the biggest show on Fox, either in Living Color or Living Single or, you know, whatever's going to be airing on Sunday nights. Like that's where they put it. The Michael Jackson new music video experience. No one's getting that. Now, again, there's more. It's different time. There's more entertainment options. There's more available to you. But that's how big these things were. You know what I mean? For Bad, this was the most anticipated television event of the year. Bigger than any Super Bowl, bigger than any national championship game, NBA finals, whatever you want to call it. Michael Jackson's premiering a new video and the whole country watched.
Well, the other thing, too, is she's ended the debate for me as to what's better, just putting out one album or you know, the rare thing you worked really hard on and waited to release, or just volume. Because I'm pretty sure she comes out with like 16 songs.
Volume shooter.
Every couple of months.
Yeah.
And for the most part, what I've learned is your followers, listeners, fans, whatever, are going to love whatever you put out. So it just so happens that's a bigger group of people for her than most people. But you know, with a lot of bands, I remember it was like every 4 years or something, you might get an album or like, oh, they're back together.
Yeah, so the album comes out, they go on tour, basically are sick of each other, hate each other's guts because they've been living and breathing in a you know, giant bus for 6 months and a plane going all over the world. They're exhausted. They're like, I can't look at these people, let alone go to the studio and cut an album.
But she just every 3 months or so at midnight, everyone starts tweeting about how she just dropped 18 songs and this one's about this person. Like, that's kind of the cycle.
That's pretty much it.
And then you wait a few months and it happens again. But anyway, I thought that was fascinating.
That's amazing.
We've done like princess camps, you know, Cinderella camps. Now we're doing Taylor Swift dance camps, which is incredible.
I was going to say, sign of the times, then they begin to cover it. That's crazy.
2024, baby. The Commanders rookie class is at work. They showed up yesterday. Today was their first day on site, presumably getting a bunch of meetings, behind the scenes things done. No access for media or fans at training camp just yet. First practice is not till next Wednesday, but the rookies have shown up. There are actually training camps underway. The Texans play the Bears in the Hall of Fame game less than 2 weeks from now. I'm going to say that again because I think everyone needs to understand that we have made it through the desert and we are about to drink some water. In 13 days, the Hall of Fame game that kicks off the NFL preseason between Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, and the revamped Chicago Bears offense. They drafted Rome Odunze. They traded for Keenan Allen. How many of those guys play in the Hall of Fame game? I'm not sure. Probably not the whole lot of them. But they play the Houston Texans, the surprise team from a year ago that won their division, that won a playoff game with the rookie sensation, C.J. Stroud, now a sophomore. They just had an unbelievable offseason. They built a heck of a pass rush. They went and got Danielle Hunter, among others. I think the Texans are going to be excellent. Those two teams play a football game in 13 days, and they are already at training camp.
That is cool. It is here. It has arrived. I don't totally have clarity on what the Washington rookies are doing. I know they checked in yesterday. I don't know if that's just like, you know, height, weight, get what t-shirt size you need or something like that. But
they got work to do,
yeah,
man.
I think they're on the field, though, today, right?
They're running plays. They're scrimmaging. They're practicing in 5 days or whatever.
Yeah, I love it. So all about it. Get them up to speed. But that is the big takeaway. And again, I'm bummed. It's a league trend. It's not just a Washington thing, although they're on the kind of the lower side. But there are so few practices open to the public. I do think that's such a huge bummer. I wish that was different, but still, it's a reason to be excited.
Well, look, I have been very positive about everything this ownership group has done because I think they're batting like .993. And I am team Adam Peters. The limited number of practices is a misstep. It's wrong. It's incorrect. It's not the right way to do it. For a team that is trying to build its fan base back up and create excitement and juice and intensity, you need pizzazz. You're looking for people to re-engage. That is the comment. That's the wording, the diction that's been used by the ownership group, by Jason Wright ad nauseum. You're looking for folks to get back in and to limit how often they can be at the facility watching football and getting excited. Nothing gets people more fired up for the season than getting to go watch a practice and get some autographs and take some pictures and hear the helmets and pads smacking together. That gets the juices flowing. They already, and this is not new to today, I think I looked this up with you almost 2 weeks ago, a few days after the announcement. Almost all the practices were already sold out, you know, because you had to get on and claim a I don't know if you would call it a ticket or whatever, but a spot, so to speak, so that they have, you know, enough staff to help you and not get overrun and whatever else. I mean, within a few days, because it's such a limited number of practices, only five, one of the lowest counts in the NFL, it's just very, very few people in the grand scheme of things are going to get to go. And I think that is a mistake. I talked to people with the team and they said, oh, well, the Eagles only have one, or, you know, this is the trend, as you just said, or look what this team's doing. The Eagles go to NFC championship games. The Eagles fan base packs the link. The Eagles were in a Super Bowl a couple years ago. The Eagles don't need re-engagement. You're an endangered species. Please act like it. And this ownership group has understood that and correctly, I think, gotten with the program, so to speak, on this. That, like, you should be extending olive branches and very welcoming. And I think they are. And that's what I love about this group. But the limited number of practices, I'm sorry, it's a bad decision. It just is.
Yeah, because it's controllable. You know what I mean? Like, this is one of those things where...
What's the benefit? Football stuff? I'm sorry, find another way. Like, teams forever have been able to prepare for the season and win football games while also having open practices. The Chiefs have... four times, I think, as many practices open to the public. You know, they go to a college campus and sleep in dorms and just have the old school Frostburg Carlisle situation. Basically, I am out on this decision. I think it's a bad decision.
Yeah. So I think the point is very good, in so much as this is what other teams are doing. You are not other teams. You know what I mean? Like, because it's the trend line, and I think this is a missed opportunity. I wouldn't go so far as to call it a mistake, or I think they're wrong. I think they've kind of missed this one a little bit here, where I can look at another organization and their circumstances and apply them to my own, and it's not the same. It just isn't. I know you're getting more tickets sold. I know there's more club sponsorships and more this and more that. The things that are, you know, are better than it was when you took over. Dubious honor. You were in the negatives. You were in the red. It was as cratered as an NFL team could be. You guys saw that firsthand, talking to the ownership group in general. What better way than to go all out here and show extra effort? Because that's what this is. This is, I'm sure it's a pain in the butt for them. I'm sure these fan days where, you know, it's fun for fans to be able to come in, but organizing everything from parking and security and insurance and, you know, corralling everybody and you know, the asking the players to go above and beyond. Nobody's saying you got to do it for every practice. Nobody's saying you have to do that. What we are saying is, I think, I don't want to speak for you, but for me is a few more days would have been pretty awesome. Like if you were 8 or 9, not among the fewest in the league. If you were closer to 10, just something else to show that we know we're not Philadelphia. We're not one of these teams that we were. We were at one point, but we're not now.
As a minimum, I'll take 8 or 9. What is unacceptable is the least open practice time you've ever allowed ever. At a time where it is more important than ever to get people to opt back in. That doesn't compute. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't make any sense. I just think you got to know what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And what I praise this ownership group for, and I think the people over there on the business side have kind of gotten in line since this ownership group took over, is you got to understand where you're at. I joke about them being an endangered species, but from a football standpoint, they're closer to that than they are, you know, a thriving species, you know, or like this growing number with, man, there's deer everywhere. Like, no, you can't find Commanders fans wearing gear in elementary schools. Get kids out to practices. What are you doing? How could you possibly only have 5 of them? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. I was a diehard fan like every other kid my age, and a lot of us were at practices getting autographs and watching players like Steven Davis and Brian Mitchell and Michael Westbrook. And a lot of your fandom came from your vacation to go for 4 days to a hotel right off site and be at 2 practices a day. So, yeah, I just don't get it, and I won't get it. But know what you are. You know, if I go out to eat lunch with you and Clary, and on the way back you guys stop and get ice cream, just because you're getting ice cream doesn't mean I should. I'm an ice cream away from keeling over. You guys, you know, put in the work, you could have an ice cream or two. So don't tell me that the Eagles only have one. I don't care about the Eagles. They're not in the same boat as you. Stop acting like you're in their boat.
So we got a tweet here. I'm at Funny Danny Grant at Grant H. Paulson. Someone hit us up and said, I had heard from a ticket rep that it was a Dan Quinn preference. And I'm sure maybe there's something to that, right? Where this is what the coach prefers. This is one of those times where I'm going, I know this is your show. You're here. You're in charge of an awful lot. Sorry. This is something we need to do. Bigger picture.
Well, what I would tell Dan Quinn is, don't worry about what's outside the sidelines. Your job's inside the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
My job's everything else.
Yeah.
So you go coach the football players that we paid for to get you and make Emmanuel Forbes better, and we'll worry about everything else. Cool? All right. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
This is one of those times where I know everyone's new, and maybe next year you'll be able to feel more comfortable telling them what for. I would say in this specific case, hey, man, this is a pretty exceptional set of circumstances. We can't do what everyone else does. We can't just be normal and sort of cater to this. This is one of those times you got to be uncomfortable. A.K., hey, I'd be more comfortable if we didn't have the Hard Knocks cameras here. Tough. We're trying to sell ourselves. We're trying to get back in the good graces of a lot of people that left.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. The rookie class is on site, and one big update on the status of one of the rookies who's not going to be ready for the start of training camp. We'll get that to you next right here on G&D. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We're taking you up to 6:15. Nats baseball again. Feels like it's been forever.
I remember baseball.
Since the good guys were playing, they are at home, 3-game set against the LA De La Cruz-led Cincinnati Reds. Patrick Corbin on the hill tonight for the Nationals. I want to get into rookies reporting to camp, but a couple people wanted to hop in on our mini rant against only having 5 open practices. Frustrated by that. Think it was the wrong decision. But let's see what you guys think. Will's in Stafford on G&D. Hey, Will, how are you?
Hey, buddy. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have season tickets. My buddy has them as well. And we both have the same ticket rep. And I think a lot of it is the construction. She has communicated that to both of us, that construction is an issue that's caused delays. And we were supposed to have a private event in the practice bubble last night for a film session with some of the coaches. They had to cancel that and push it back. I do believe the team when they mention that, because I have seen construction driving by there. But, you know, if construction's going on in a permitted property, you can only allow so many people onto that property as well. So I've got to believe the team when they say that. If I had my choice, I wouldn't have any practices open to the public if I ran the team. Thanks, guys.
Oh, appreciate you.
So I agree with you if you're a good team. You know, if you're a team with a healthy, flourishing fan base. That's not what this is to me. This is a ailing organization that is desperate for butts in seats, literally and figuratively. They need to try to do everything they can to get people back to wanting to be around this organization. They're trying to get buy-in from fans that have been alienated, either because they hated the old owner or because the name change ruined their fandom, in their opinion, or because, I don't know, frankly, the team just hasn't been good in a long time. But for whatever reason, the numbers don't lie. They are what they are. Attendance from many years ago to now, interest, TV ratings, however you're going to measure it, you and I see it all the time. It's tangible to us because mm-hmm. we've been doing daily sports talk radio in this town now for over a decade. It's just a reality that they've got to deal with. And one of the hallmark, the pillar, true chances that you get to get with your base, so to speak.
Yep.
Again, political terms.
Get to invigorate the base to get them excited.
Like you had the RNC taking place in Milwaukee the last couple days. The DNC is coming up here very shortly. It's about motivating your base and getting your people rallied and behind you and ready to go spend money and energize. That's called training camp in football. You know, that is this part of the season, and they are opting out of a large portion of that as far as I'm concerned with the fans. Now, if I am the Ravens or the Chiefs or the maybe even the Texans or, you know, a team, let's say you're not good, but the passion hasn't subsided because you don't have a new name and because you didn't hate your owner for a long time, the Bears or something, I'm not going to be upset if for a year or two you do this while you're doing some construction. If, in fact, it's a construction problem, then, man, is that bad timing. You know, a whole rest of the year where you could probably do that construction. As far as I'm concerned, like they need to take advantage of every single opportunity to have kids build lifelong lasting relationships via memories, like Mitch Rales, their minority owner, talked about.
Yeah.
He wants to build this Hall of Fame and send third graders from every school in the area and give them a hat. I mean, this guy's brilliant. He knows exactly what he's talking about. You know when else you could do that is an open training camp practice.
So like Will was talking about, you know, to his season ticket rep, you probably put those guys in a bad spot. They're trying to explain something away. We're going, hey, I would have liked to have gone to this or something to that effect. And to me, you're never going to be able to please everybody, right? You're never going to be able to do everything under the sun. There are only so many hours in a day, so many times that you got to get to work and get these guys on the grass. My point is, limiting it to 5, they're already sold out, which speaks well. You've got some enthusiasm. There needs to be some consideration where you go, okay, we can't please everybody, but what about, and I'm making something up, you know, kids under 15 day or something like that, right? Or summer camp day where we bring a bunch of kids from, you know, areas all around D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, bus them out there, let them go and have a day at training camp. Something to that effect, right? Where all it takes is a huge amount of effort, and that's controllable, right? You can't add hours to the day. You can't, you know, change a bunch of things that are unchangeable. This is an access thing. This is something that I wish they would have prioritized, where they're doing, it's okay. It's like the bare minimum to me. And that's not the position they're in. Nobody really should. I mean, that's how businesses go from being on top to being in the middle of the pack and then, you know, out of business by saying, we're good enough. You're never good enough. You should always be improving. This was an area that I think could have been taken advantage of, because this is one of the ones you control. You don't control how many primetime games you get. You don't control, you know, what broadcasting team has your games on 1 o'clock on a Sunday. These are your touch points with your fans. You control this one, and this could have been solved with effort.
Let's go to Kevin, who's in Arlington on G&D. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hey, guys. Grant, your outrage, it mirrors mine. Maybe outrage is too strong a word, but you said it best. Know who you are. Think about this when we were first hearing that maybe, in fact, the team will be sold by Snyder. Everybody was calling the Skins, Commanders, a sleeping giant, and maybe they still are. But you know what? When you look at the real key hurdles they're facing, a disengaged fan base, the stadium politics and the timing of a decision, and you know, you had a guy come on with a junkie say it might be 6 years before we have the next stadium.
Yeah.
There's the name brand change decision, which a lot of people think won't happen until we do have a stadium deal. Then there's this leveraged ownership group that spent $6 billion just to get the team and has the fixer-upper from hell. You look at those key interrelated hurdles, and you're like, where's the urgency to just do the little things like the fans coming out? Right. Now, I'm not like the last caller. I'm not a season ticket holder. Economically, I cannot be. But I was a guy from 80s, to just a few years ago, that would make at least 3 games a year on average, okay? And I follow the team religiously. But I guess my point is, they have huge challenges, and so these little opportunities, like get the fans out there. We don't have time, Mitch, to wait for your Hall of Fame. That's a great idea. Get the kids out now. I mean, I think about your children, your all's children. My boys, they wore Jaguars and Bengals jerseys as kids. Now, they finally come around, the burgundy gold. But you know, why lose another generation of kids? Why be so methodical and patient, which is what this group likes to do, when you can be urgent about certain things and move quickly on certain things? I don't know. Am I overreacting? It just seems to me this is the time to do everything right.
No, well, you're in the same boat as I am.
Yeah, your chance to make that first impression again, right? Your chance to have renewed eyeballs on you, and you should get A's.
I'm not outraged to answer your original question, if that's too strong. I mean, yes, it is. I don't have enough energy for that on this. I just think it's a misstep. That's all. It's a mistake. I think they're doing it wrong. When you should be saying yes as often as possible, they're saying no. In this particular example, they're prioritizing I don't really know what. I suppose, you know, the element of surprise. Well, meanwhile, Brandon Ayuk's got pictures of your film on his TikTok. Like, what are we doing here exactly? Can't quite marry those two either. But here's what I know. There is someone driving in their car right now listening who has a kid in elementary school. If they, on July 19th, decide right now, their kid comes to them and says, Dad, I want to go to training camp to go meet Terry McLaurin or to get an autograph from one of the Commanders and watch a practice. In my entire life, every single year until right now, they have been able to do that. And this year, they can't, essentially, because all the practices are sold out, I think. There might be one.
Last I saw, they're all sold out.
There might be one, like, fan day or something where they'll allow 20,000 people to show up. And, you know, maybe you could still get into that one. But the point stands. Until now, forever and ever, if my son just says to me, he's only 3, he's a little too young to get it, but in a year or two, hey, Dad, let's go to training camp. I go, awesome, buddy, no problem. Of course I want to take you to training camp. My parents took me to training camp. I've always been able to do that. Not this year. Let's go to Kevin in Locust Grove on G&D. What's up?
Yeah, what I was saying to the guy that answered the phone, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
After 50 years of construction industry, every day of my life, 50 years, you don't want anybody near a construction site that doesn't belong there, especially people with kids. Wrong place to have them. maybe they could have done something with the construction sooner or later, or after the fact. But the thing is that these guys are going so many different directions, trying to pick up and improve so many different things.
Fair.
That Snyder didn't do. They're hip deep in it, and I cleaned that up.
I get it.
Thank you.
A couple things. I view the construction thing as a convenient excuse. If I'm wrong, then I'd apologize to whoever's over there, and maybe that's real. I know I talked to a couple people about this, and the first thing they cited is this is the trend around the league. It's not just us. Not, hey, we can't have people here because of construction. So that's number one. Are they doing construction? I'm sure. I will say to that what I used to say to like Chase Young when he couldn't show up. I'm asking for 4 days of your 4 months off or whatever. There's 3 weeks, basically, where you're having training camp and you'd like to have some people in your building. The rest of the year, the other 49 weeks, it's just players and coaches, and you could probably do any of the construction you need to. How urgent is it to get rid of the turf field that's been there for 30 years? We got to do that by next week? No, you're not using that field until the end of the football season at this point anyway.
But even beyond that, again, it's something I frankly don't buy. Not that we don't want regular citizens walking around construction sites. I'm in favor of that. That's personnel. That's security. That's PR people. That's ropes. That's a whole bunch of things. Like, for example, when I went to training camp, when they had it in Ashburn, there was a rope that designated what section I was allowed in. I couldn't just go jog out on the field and see if I could, D up Michael Westbrook. You know what I mean? Like you're herded through places. You're moved through with your printed out tickets or your parking passes or whatever. You control where these people go. And if you can't have 15,000 people because that would spill over onto this construction area, then don't have four. I'm just saying, these are excuses that could have been thoughtfully worked around.
We're Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:15. I do want to get into the rookie class as we continue. They are on site. They are permitted to be at the facility, with or without construction. We should discuss them on the Fan. Rini, you head back over there. He's with the team that doesn't throw accurate passes. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So far, the quarterbacking from guys down there on the deuce,
yeah,
not accurate.
Slash made a nice catch when I threw him the Nerf ball. Like a pretty nice catch, kind of reaching back on his back hip. But then I asked him to sling me the pill, knowing it wasn't going to be on the money. And he didn't let me down. It was not on the money. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's push our rookie conversation to the top of the hour in 3 o'clock because I want to get into those guys who have reported. Big update on Jerjan Johnny Newton not being ready for the start of the year, but you guys have wanted to hop in on the limited amount of availability and practices for fans. I think there are a total of 5 open practices to non-season ticket holders. Looks like almost everything is sold out that I can find on the site at this point, so you're kind of out of luck already, as we're not even within a few days of the start of camp. That's unprecedented. And I just think it's a bad decision for a team that's trying to get people to opt back in. Let's go to Tailgate Ted on G&D. What's up, Tailgate?
What's going on, gents? How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
I don't know if you guys remember. It was a couple of years ago they tried this in 22, where they did the lottery system, and that completely blew up in their face, and they completely took it away. Maybe 3 or 4 days later, they also then decided to do a practice at FedEx Field so they could house, 70,000 fans if they actually wanted to be there. And I don't know why they're not going to do that again. And the suggestion I made was, why aren't you? And the reason I was told was because that costs us a lot of money. But you have to spend money if you want to make money, especially for a team that's going through a rebrand. And I just feel that it's so short-sighted, just back to your point, Grant, on why you're not having fans to be able to have that access. At least if we had a chance, especially because we only have one preseason game, if you could give the fans the ability to at least go to FedEx just to watch it. It's not as intimate, but you could still be there and you could hold more people and there's no construction.
Yeah, the Eagles, who everybody likes to cite, and thanks for the call, Ted, as always, good info. Everyone always mentions, well, they only have the one practice. It's a stadium practice. Mm-hmm. It's like a scrimmage, essentially. White on green or whatever they call it. And anybody who wants to go can go. So if it's important to you to be there, you're going to get to see your team. Can you say that about training camp 2024 for the Commanders? No, because if somebody signed up faster than you, you're kind of SOL. I like the idea of doing something at the stadium. They did that a couple years ago.
It was like a scrimmage or a joint practice. Not joint practice, but like the inner squad activity they had. Yeah,
they scrimmaged each other. But, you know, it was basically, you know what it was? It was a training camp practice. You break up into position groups. You do everything you normally would do at a practice. And then you go 11 on 11, essentially. Ones versus twos, twos versus ones, you know, back and forth, good on good. And it was fun. You and I were there. Matter of fact, we broadcasted live from there. And I don't remember if you stayed or not. I mean, me and Darius, I remember sitting up in the, you know, upper bowl, hanging out, watching practice. Like, it was cool. And there were a lot of people there, by the way. But you can shuttle in. The Mitch Rails plan. You can bring in high schoolers. You could do one in the morning if you want and get camp day. Well, why not do camp day? Where you just bring in every summer camp in D.C. and they're all in the lower bowl watching Commanders practice and hand out the hat that Mitch Rails wants to hand out. Hand out a t-shirt. Like, to me, that's the type of olive branch behavior that I'm hunting for and looking for, which is kind of the opposite of, hey, we've got the least number of practices we've ever had open. Again, these guys have done almost everything right. So I give them the benefit of the doubt on stuff like this to ask them and say, hey, what do you think about this? But if this becomes the norm where next year it's four, the year after that it's three, or, you know, it's just five practices even after the construction, wrong.
So the way you said something interesting just now that made me think. I don't know that this is, I guess if it's on a binary right or wrong, I'd say, hey, I think you made the wrong choice here. But this isn't like bad, but I think this could have been really awesome. And that's kind of my point. That's how I see this. This is a missed opportunity for something. How neat would it be if you led the league in chances for fans to come see you, and you were sitting there with arms wide open, welcoming people through your doors an awful lot?
This is a misstep.
Yeah.
A miscalculation. You said missed opportunity. I like that. It's just one example. I hope there won't be that many of them, of not taking full advantage of the desperation you've got to act with to try to fix this problem. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like Ted mentioned, only one preseason game. That's also important.
Yes.
There's one preseason game. I believe all the joint practices are on the road. So, like, all the cool stuff, for the most part, in August is not here. I think you got to bake that into the equation, too, as you're trying to ramp up the in-town excitement. And maybe their thought is it's almost like not opening up your dress rehearsal. Like, people have got to come opening night when the curtains open to see Jaden Daniels. And maybe that will work. You know, maybe as a marketing strategy, you weren't able to come. There was an exclusivity to it. You couldn't get behind the rope. So now you've got to be there to see that kid, JD. But we'll see. I mean, I think the opposite is better. Like, give people a little snack and you want now more food. Have them come to the water fountain and get their tongue on the water and then pull them away and say, if you want more, get back in line. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. Speaking of Jaden Daniels, who else is going to shine among the rookies that are at work in Ashburn right now? They reported yesterday. That's next on G&D. Rini, you head back over there. He's with the team that doesn't throw accurate passes, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So far, the quarterbacking from guys down there on the deuce,
yeah,
not accurate.
Slash made a nice catch when I threw him the Nerf ball. Like a pretty nice catch, kind of reaching back on his back hip. But then I asked him to sling me the pill, knowing it wasn't going to be on the money. And he didn't let me down. It was not on the money. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's push our rookie conversation to the top of the hour in 3 o'clock because I want to get into those guys who have reported. Big update on Jerjan Johnny Newton not being ready for the start of the year, but you guys have wanted to hop in on the limited amount of availability and practices for fans. I think there are a total of 5 open practices to non-season ticket holders. Looks like almost everything is sold out that I can find on the site at this point, so you're kind of out of luck already, as we're not even within a few days of the start of camp. That's unprecedented, and I just think it's a bad decision for a team that's trying to get people to opt back in. Let's go to Tailgate Ted on G&D. What's up, Tailgate?
What's going on, gents? How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
I don't know if you guys remember. It was a couple of years ago they tried this in 22, where they did the lottery system, and that completely blew up in their face, and they completely took it away. Maybe 3 or 4 days later, They also then decided to do a practice at FedEx Field so they could house, you know, what, 70,000 fans if they actually wanted to be there. And I don't know why they're not going to do that again. And the suggestion I made was, why aren't you? And the reason I was told was because that costs us a lot of money. But you have to spend money if you want to make money, especially for a team that's going through a rebrand. And I just feel that it's so short-sighted. Just back to your point, Grant, on why you're not having fans to be able to have that access. At least if we had a chance, especially because we only have one preseason game. If you could give the fans the ability to at least go to FedEx just to watch it. It's not as intimate, but you could still be there and you could hold more people and there's no construction.
Yeah, the Eagles, who everybody likes to cite, and thanks for the call, Ted, as always, good info. Everyone always mentions, well, they only have the one practice. It's a stadium practice. Mm-hmm. It's like a scrimmage, essentially, white on green or whatever they call it. And anybody who wants to go can go. So if it's important to you to be there, you're going to get to see your team. Can you say that about training camp 2024 for the Commanders? No, because if somebody signed up faster than you, you're kind of SOL. I like the idea of doing something at the stadium. They did that a couple years ago.
It was like a scrimmage or a joint practice. Not joint practice, but like the inner squad activity they had. Yeah,
they scrimmaged each other. But, you know, it was basically, you know what it was? It was a training camp practice. You break up into position groups. You do everything you normally would do at a practice. And then you go 11 on 11, essentially. Ones versus twos, twos versus ones, you know, back and forth, good on good. And it was fun. You and I were there. Matter of fact, we broadcasted live from there. And I don't remember if you stayed or not. I mean, me and Darius, I remember sitting up in the, you know, upper bowl, hanging out, watching practice. Like, it was cool. And there were a lot of people there, by the way. But you can shuttle in. The Mitch Rails plan. You can bring in high schoolers. You could do one in the morning if you want and get camp day. Well, why not do camp day? Where you just bring in every summer camp in D.C. and they're all in the lower bowl watching Commanders practice and hand out the hat that Mitch Rails wants to hand out. Hand out a t-shirt. Like, to me, that's the type of olive branch behavior that I'm hunting for and looking for, which is kind of the opposite of, hey, we've got the least number of practices we've ever had open. Again, these guys have done almost everything right. So I give them the benefit of the doubt on stuff like this to ask them and say, hey, what do you think about this? But if this becomes the norm where next year it's four, the year after that it's three, or, you know, it's just five practices even after the construction, wrong.
So the way you said something interesting just now that made me think. I don't know that this is, I guess if it's on a binary right or wrong, I'd say, hey, I think you made the wrong choice here. But this isn't like bad, but I think this could have been really awesome. And that's kind of my point. That's how I see this. This is a missed opportunity for something. How neat would it be if you led the league in chances for fans to come see you, and you were sitting there with arms wide open, welcoming people through your doors an awful lot?
This is a misstep.
Yeah.
A miscalculation. You said missed opportunity. I like that. It's just one example. I hope there won't be that many of them, of not taking full advantage of the desperation you've got to act with to try to fix this problem. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like Ted mentioned, only one preseason game. That's also important.
Yes.
There's one preseason game. I believe all the joint practices are on the road. So, like, all the cool stuff, for the most part, in August is not here. I think you got to bake that into the equation, too, as you're trying to ramp up the in-town excitement. And maybe their thought is, it's almost like not opening up your dress rehearsal. Like, people have got to come opening night when the curtains open to see Jaden Daniels. And maybe that will work. You know, maybe as a marketing strategy, you weren't able to come. There was an exclusivity to it. You couldn't get behind the rope. So now you've got to be there to see that kid, JD. But we'll see. I mean, I think the opposite is better. Like, give people a little snack and you want now more food. Have them come to the water fountain and get their tongue on the water and then pull them away and say, if you want more, get back in line. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. Speaking of Jaden Daniels, who else is going to shine among the rookies that are at work in Ashburn right now? They reported yesterday. That's next on G&D.